Here's what I want to start off with. I am not a believer in sitting in the back of the room. So here's what I want to do. If you have at least one empty seat in front of you, I want you to get up and take it real fast. Yeah, come on, just get closer. Get closer. You can't sit in the back of the room. That back of the row is not acceptable. And here's why. And I want to teach you something just to kind of get started. If you sit in the back of the room at an event, you'll sit in the back of the room at a concert. If you sit in the back of the room at an event, you'll sit at the back of the room at your favorite ball game. And whether you realize it or not, when you take actions like these, you are teaching your kids what's possible in life and not possible in life. As a matter of fact, somebody taught you that sitting in the back of the room was perfectly okay. Would you guys agree, yes or no? Yeah, you see, once you get to a point in life where you start really realizing the way humanity operates, then what you start to do little by little is you stop accepting the things that you used to accept. And I think I've got about an hour with you guys today. I want this to be a life-altering experience for you. I'm going to share from the heart. I'm going to share from some of my mess-ups, some of my victories. But most importantly, what I want you to walk away with today is I want you to walk away with an idea of what's really possible in your life and in your business, okay? And I'm going to start that by having you write down the words, life doesn't have to be a struggle. Write that down. Life doesn't have to be a struggle. I don't know if you know my story or not, but I feel like it's important to share with you. My story starts when I was 18 years old, okay? Anybody 18 here? There's a lot of young faces there. No? Nobody? Okay, good. I was 18 years old, and I realized at the time that we lived in a crummy little two-bedroom apartment. And I didn't like that. I didn't like my current life situation. And I didn't like that at the time I had a little 8-year-old brother who I knew was going to have to grow up living the same way that I lived. I looked to my left, I looked to my right, there was no savior coming. There was no hero coming. My dad wasn't around. I lived in a single parent household with my mother. My mother, God bless her soul, she was a 4'2" little shy Hispanic woman, and she just didn't have an ambitious bone in her body. So I thought to myself, and I looked clearly into the future, and I remember having this conversation with myself at 18. I thought, you know, if we are ever going to get out of this shithole, it's going to be up to me, because no one else is going to do it. Has anybody ever had a conversation like that with themselves? Yeah? Yeah, that's called like a real, brutal, like life-checking conversation. And at that point in that conversation, you have two things that you can decide to do, and I want you to write them down. Either A, you back down, or B, you go all in. Those are really the only two options, and as a matter of fact, you've got to start realizing if you're in your life, if you ever really want to make it, there is no gray in life. Gray doesn't exist. You think it exists. The only thing that exists is black and white, yes or no, in or out, period in the story. So I decided to go all in. I decided to go all in the scariest way that I knew how, because within fear comes the answer that you're looking for. And I decided to say, I'm going to do something that nobody in my family has done other than one aunt. I'm going to buy a house. I'm 18 years old. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to buy a house by the time I'm 21 years old. I have no money. I have no job. I have no career. I just graduated high school. But I'm just going to have the audacity to believe that I can pull this off. True story. This is exactly how it happened. And I sat there and I thought to myself, and I thought, I had like a Tom and Jerry moment. You guys remember Tom and Jerry? Tom and Jerry is that great cartoon. And remember Tom and Jerry where they're like, he used to have like the little angel Tom and like the little devil Tom, and they would talk to him. I remember laying in bed, I had like the angel Danny and the devil Danny, right? And the angel Danny says, you could do it. You could do it. You're going to have to think different. You probably won't be able to get a job. You're going to have to start some sort of a business, but you can do it if you really want to. And the devil, Danny, said, nope, don't do it. Uh-uh, that's too much risk, too much vulnerability. You don't want to put yourself out there like that. What happens if you fail? Little side note, guys. We ourselves talk ourselves out of things. So don't allow other people to do the same thing. Because you're battling your own demons inside of yourself, right? The last thing you want to do is let other people become a demon for you as well. Does this make sense? Say yes. Okay, fantastic. So I said, screw it, I'm going all in. And I decided to buy my mom a house. And when you make a decision for your future, it's kind of crazy what happens. It's like if the right circumstances, the right people, the right clients, they just start lining up and showing up into your life. Has anybody else ever experienced this? Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. So all of a sudden, I find myself meeting a real estate agent. Like, why I would meet a real estate agent at 18 or 19 years old, I think it was, I don't know why. As a matter of fact, I do know why. It's because I set the thought, and I set the intention, and I set the vision. And I remember meeting him at a job fair. It was like perfect destiny. I was there, he was there, and I asked him the magic question. I said, hey, is there any money in real estate? He says, yeah. And I go, well, can I have some of it? He says, sure. And I go, I'll tell you what. This is another lesson, guys. I'm just going to be spitting out, so you're just freaking right. Another lesson was this. I said, I'll tell you what. I work 6 days a week right now. My only day off is Sunday. I don't want you to pay me. I just want you to teach me. I'll work for free for you for 1 year if you just teach me the business. And I'm going to tell you why that's so important is because nowadays everybody wants 100% commission. Or they want the private office, or they want yes or no. This is real estate dumb right now. Everybody wants shortcuts right now. I don't believe in shortcuts. I believe in value. Value. And for me, the value that I could receive from 1 year invested with this gentleman outweighed any money he could pay me. Because I could take those lessons and apply them for the rest of my life. Does this make sense? Say yes. Yes. Absolutely. So I went all in. I'm going to fast forward a little bit. I got my real estate license. Sure enough, I bought my mom and my family a house by the time I was 21 years old. At that time, I was selling about 32 homes a year. I was 21 years old, 32 homes a year. I was the only individual in my family who owned a home. Everybody else rented, except for one aunt. Who's Hispanic? Raise your hands. Who's African Americans? Who's a minority? Well, you know, like in our communities, what happens is like when you succeed, like there's a problem. It's like weird. Like, why are you succeeding? Something's not right. Something's not right here. As a matter of fact, in our community, when you're succeeding, here's what will start happening. People will start really like being negative. So I remember at the time, I had this one aunt, and she owned a beautiful home. And guess what? She was like the evil aunt. She was like the crazy aunt. And I remember walking into her house, because all we ever lived in since living in New York was apartments. I remember walking in there thinking, this isn't that evil or crazy to me at all. This is actually kind of nice. I don't know what's wrong with you people, but I want to be like her when I grow up. And the same thing happened to me. You know, I'm making $100,000, $110,000 a year at 21 years old, and everybody in my family is making 40 or 50. Things get a little weird. I remember even in my church, who goes to church, yeah? If you could be a little bit honest, I remember even in my church, I mean, I was driving like a 7 Series BMW at like 22, and 45 and 50-year-olds were in like a, I don't know, what a like poor people drive, right? Like, a, you know, whatever, yeah. It made people very, very uncomfortable. Very, very uncomfortable, right? That was mean, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm still learning how to be the new Danny. I'm still learning how to be the new Danny. And so anyways, fast forward, I realized, and I got to a point in my career where I realized, like, selling 30 homes or 35 homes a year is great, but I'm working 7 days a week. And at some point in time, I'm going to have a wife and kids, and this is just not going to work anymore. And so that's where I think my journey and my career really began. I switched from working with buyers, and I started focusing on working with sellers. And I'm telling you right now, some of you are avoiding this. And you're avoiding this for one reason and one reason only. And that's because buyers require zero skill. Write it down so you could slowly start to accept it. Buyers require zero skill. Zero. You open a door, you say, what do you think? You grab a pen and you start writing. That's it. The house sells itself. Sellers, that's a different story. Sellers require skills. Sellers require leadership. Sellers require professionalism. Sellers require teaching and guiding. It's a whole different ballgame. And yet I realized that the answer to my future and what I wanted to become was in the fear of confronting my inability to sell. You see, the secret that I would not admit to myself at the time, guys, was I was making great money. I was number one in my office. My ego was this big. Colton wasn't lying. It was worse than what he describes. It was massive. Can you imagine being poor, living on welfare, being 22 years old, 21 years old, driving a 7 Series and making $150K a year? Oh my, you think you're the shit, right? And yet what I realized is that I wasn't a salesperson. I didn't have any skill. I simply sold from enthusiasm, a decent personality, and great energy. And I had to confront myself with that. And so I became a listing agent, and I repeatedly worked on my sales skills over and over and over again, and that's a process in and of itself, which we don't have time for today. But I will tell you that it was an incredible process, because when you're becoming a listing agent, which, by the way, in a room of about 100 people, there's maybe only 3 good ones. It's just the reality, because everybody in real estate avoids it. And when you become a good listing agent, here is the process you go through, and I'm going to teach it to you right now. Write it down. Number one, you just start doing the work. What does the work look like? The work looks like you getting on the phones. Another thing you want to avoid at all costs. That was a joke. You just start memorizing words. You start dealing with your ego and what it tells you about it sounding so robotic. You're already robotic. You're just robotic in your way. Eventually, you got to become robotic the right way. And so you start doing the work for the sake of just doing the work. Sometimes we call it contactitis. You're just making contacts, and it's new to you, and you're really excited that you just made contacts. Number two, you start setting appointments. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, that's a point most people don't cross. A lot of people just really enjoy making contacts, and they're proud of themselves because they made contacts. But they ain't setting no appointments. That's a different ballgame. It's a different skill. Everybody say skill? It's a different skill. It's a different skill. And then at one point in time, you cross that threshold, and you go from just making contacts to actually setting appointments. But then there's another level. Number three, taking listings. Taking listings. That's a whole nother ballgame. You finally set appointments after all this hard work. Then you finally start going on the appointments after all this hard work. And then you finally take the listing after all this hard work. But that's a battle in and of itself. I remember I went on 8 listing appointments back to back to back to back to back. And on every single one of them, here's what the seller told me. The seller said, you know what, sweetie, we like you a lot, and we're going to call you back. We'll call you back tomorrow, and, you know, we'll talk then. And guess what I thought, being my amiable, human being loving self? Oh, great, they're going to call me back. So happy. I felt so good about myself. Guess what I'm going to call you back means? I'm never calling you. I'm never calling you. Sales is a lot like dating, by the way. This is correlation. If you're attached to the outcome, you're not getting the date. If you're attached to the outcome, you're not getting the listing. It's the exact same thing. So then you have to actually learn how to convert these people. And I remember, I'll never forget, I started practicing and practicing and practicing. And I got to a point where I said, you know, I'm tired of this. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of going on these appointments and not getting them. I have to learn how to do this. You guys want to learn how to do it? I'll tell you my first closing technique ever. There's a bunch of them. I'll teach you one. I sat there. I'll never forget. It was this beautiful couple. They were sitting there. And the moment of truth came. Moment of truth comes, and they're sitting in front of me, and they start looking at each other, and they say the magic words, which are what? Okay, sweetie, we really like you. We'll call you back tomorrow. And my heart goes, and my mind goes, just say it, Danny. Just say it, Danny, for crying out loud, just say it. And I'm like, no, I don't want to say it. I'm scared. What if they say no? Like, your mind starts going crazy. And I just said the words. They just came out like nothing. I just said them. Let me ask you a question. When all else fails, just say those words. Let me ask you a question. And I used a simple one. It was the three yes close. Do you feel we can appropriately market your property? They looked at each other. They looked at me. They said, yes. I said, perfect. Do you feel we can net you top dollar? They looked at each other. They looked at me. They said, yes. Perfect. And finally, do you feel we could market the property, net you top dollar, and do it all in a timely manner to move your family to San Diego? They looked at each other. They looked at me. They said, yes. Guess what I said? Perfect. All we got to do now is sign this contract. I'll have my marketing team over. We'll get everything started first thing in the morning. And I didn't wait for them to sign, or I didn't wait for them to think. I didn't wait for anything. I reached into my jacket. I grabbed the pen. I handed it to him, and I pointed at the paper. Go ahead, right there. Sign right there. I guided his entire body to sign. You people aren't doing this. No, you're sitting there like this. And you think you sell like this. You don't sell like this. You sell like this. Move people with your energy, with your body language, with your leadership. Because if you ain't moving them, they're moving you. And if they're moving you, you're not getting paid at the level that you should be getting paid. And I got the signature. But that wasn't enough, because there's another level. Level 4, taking sellable listings. It's a whole different ballgame. You can take listings all you want. You can have a bunch of signs out there all day long. Taking sellable listings, that's a different ballgame. It's a different ballgame. Now, if I could stop right now and I can just share with you right now, look at the ladder you have to climb. Look at the ladder you have to climb. Is that a steep ladder, yes or no? Now you know why there's not a lot of listing agents out there. People don't want to put in the work. Why should you? When you can make 200 grand a year working with buyers. We're all on 100% split now. The brokers damaged the industry. Why should you? You are forced into mediocrity because of the leadership in real estate today. The only reason why you should is when you want abundance. That's it. The only reason you should is when you want what other people can't have. The only reason you should is when you want what you're truly destined to have. And so I just decided in that moment, I'm never going to take a listing that isn't sellable. What is sellable to me? I want you to write it down. I put a sign up, it sells in 14 days or less. Because why the hell would I do anything else? Why would I waste my time? By the way, what determines if a listing is sellable or not? It's two things. I want you to write them down. Number one is price. Number two is commission. That's it. So whenever a listing expires, what does that mean? It means very simply, what was it? Nope. It means there was a lack of leadership. Write it down. There was a lack of leadership. The agent didn't lead. Who led? The seller led. So you see, once I figured all this out and I worked, and what I mean work, I would memorize my words like every day. I would literally just walk around all day long and practice. For like 2 years in a row, an hour to 2 hours a day, I started taking 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 listings a month. We would be closing 10 deals like in a day. Next thing you know, I'm 27 years old, making $1.5 million a year, working 4.5 days a week. Everybody else around me is 45, 50 years old, making $100K a year, working 7 days a week. Can I tell you why? Please say yes.
Yes.
I had the right vision, I had the right skill set, and I had the right work ethic. That's it. You can stop the whole 2 days right now, by the way. That's it. Can I tell you what else I had that ruined my life? I had a massive ego. Massive ego. And I wasn't prepared for the market to crash the way it did. Long story short, I lost absolutely everything. Absolutely everything. I went from living at the top of the hill in this beautiful mansion overlooking the entire valley, and to make it worse, this was as a single guy, by the way, to the moment I had kids, it's like something happened and it's like the rug got pulled out from under me. It was all part of the plan, however, because I wouldn't be the man that I am today if I didn't experience that. But guys, I got so low, I couldn't afford a gallon of milk. It got so bad, my wife at the time had to borrow money and ask her parents to buy us groceries. But she didn't want it, wouldn't tell me because she knew it would affect my ego too much. I went through 2 years of heartache. I'm talking pain. But it was the most beautiful blessing in my life. And then one day something happened. I was there, I was miserable, I was depressed, I was down and out. I didn't know what to do with my life. I couldn't get out of bed. I was overweight as a result. I wasn't happy internally with myself. I was dead broke. I wasn't making any money. And one day, the air conditioning broke. And it was like 105 degrees outside. And at the time, we only had two kids. I had two little boys. And they were like running around sweating. It's how hot it was. I couldn't even afford rent, so I wasn't living in like my own place. And I tell you, with no embarrassment, it is what it is. So I was living with like my mom. Here I was like this millionaire, like, you know, asshole is what I really was, who God just humbled cold turkey. And after 2 years of living like this, I'll never forget this. And you know, this I should have had a picture of. But my two little boys were so hot, I didn't have a pool for them. And in my previous home, I had a pool. I had the best pool, you know, rock, waterfall, the whole thing. That I grabbed an ice chest and I opened it up and I filled it with water and I stuck them in there. Anybody had like a life-altering moment? That was for me my life-altering moment. I put them in there and I thought to myself, Danny, here's what life has become. You as a man are providing for your children a pool that's a fucking ice chest. What is wrong with you? And I snapped out of it. I snapped out of my depression. I snapped out of my negative thinking. I snapped out of living the life that I was accustomed to living for those 2 years. And here's what I realized, guys, that I hope changes your life forever. Write down point number two. The mind can be a terrible master, but a wonderful servant. The mind can be a terrible master, but a wonderful servant. I started to realize, and everybody, I want you to take a deep breath right now. Take a deep breath. Exhale. I started to realize, guys, that the entire time that I was broke because I was broke-minded. My spirit was broke. My heart was broke. My belief was broke. Anything that is happening in the external world is simply a reflection of what's going on in the internal world. And sometimes what happens, guys, is that in your internal world, you're so used to thinking a certain way that you think it's you. Let me tell you, it's not you. It's what you've been taught to think since you were a very little boy or a very little girl. There were moments as you were being raised that shaped your life forever. It taught you what you thought was possible or not. It taught you what to be afraid of or not. It taught you what to believe in yourself or not. It taught you how to relate with other people or not. It taught you everything. Who you are today as a human being is not your true, authentic self. You were shaped this way. And unfortunately, I had to confront that. I had to confront that I was shaped into success from the wrong factor. I was shaped into success from ego. All that money I made at the beginning, as a young man, was there good in it? Yeah, there was good in it. I got my family out of the ghetto. We bought us a house, so forth and so on. Yeah, but what was the underlying factor, the underlying motivation? It wasn't heart. It was ego. It was Danny is going to prove to the world that he made it. Look at me, world. I made it. That's why it fell apart. That's why it fell apart. And while I was in those moments during those 2 years, I started to realize that the thing that plagued my mind and my heart were, that caused me to be depressed, that caused me to have anxiety, that caused me to not be able to get out of bed was one word. Write it down. Worry. Worry. And unfortunately, guys, worry blocks you of your life force. Worry blocks you of your life force. That's all worry does. That's all worry does. And so I finally had to like step out. I thought to myself, okay, I need a new purpose. I need a new purpose. Well, I didn't know what to think at the time. So I thought, look, my kids are in an ice chest. They deserve a pool. I'm going to get them a pool. That's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to work and I'm going to build us the home we deserve. And I'm going to build them the pool that they deserve. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go get them a pool. But I can't do that if I'm always worrying. I'm always worrying. And then I thought to myself, what has me so worried? What has me so worried? What has me so worried? I thought, I know, my bills. My bills have me worried. My bills have me worried because I can't pay them. I'm broke. And I have all these debt collectors calling me and calling me and calling me. And so you know what I did? True story. I'll never forget this. I thought to myself, if I'm ever going to snap out of this, I got to stop worrying. If I'm ever going to provide for these boys the life that they deserve, I got to stop worrying. So I have to deal with this right now. I got to tackle the thing that is making me worry the most. So here's what I did. I will never forget this. I went up, I grabbed my bills, I tore them up, and I threw them in the trash. Can I tell you why? I couldn't pay them. I couldn't pay them. So why worry about them? Yeah, but Danny, no. You don't understand. Listen to me right now. It's either you're going to be worrying and fearful and doubtful for the rest of your human existence, or you're not. There is no gray. There's only black or white. black or white means I have bills, I can't pay them, rip them up, throw them in the trash. Yeah, but, there is no yeah, but. I can't do anything about it right now. So they would call me, and guess what I would do? I'd just hang up on them. Because could I do anything about it, yes or no? So why worry? What I did instead of worry is I started to do another word, write down declare, declare, declare. I started to declare. I went to the most important people in my life and I declared what I was going to do. You want pressure? Go tell your family what you're about to do. You don't have a family? Go tell the world what you're about to do. I say, here's what will happen. Number one, give me 6 months and I'm gonna find us our own house, our own place to rent. Like, I gotta start somewhere. Because at the time, I couldn't afford it. 6 months. However, in those 6 months, I'm gonna go at this 7 days a week. 7 days a week. You're not gonna see me. I'm not going to be around much, but I promise you, everybody repeat after me, I give you my word. We will find a place and live in our own place within 6 months. There is no black or white. I mean, it's only black or white. It's either you're going to do it or you're not. It's either going to man up or you're not. It's either going to woman up or you're not. See, gray is what's killing us all. Options is what's killing us all. I remove the option. Sure enough, I went out there 7 days a week. I put everything that I had known about real estate, about salesmanship. I am not kidding you. I'm not kidding you. I closed like 23 deals in 6 months. Now, my kids didn't see me. My wife didn't see me at the time, but guess what I was able to do? What I said I was going to do. And you see, at the time, I knew I had a special talent or ability to teach people. And I thought to myself, what do you want to do with your life, Danny? I thought, like, I know I can sell these houses. I've already proved that I could do it at a high level. But what if I could help other people to do it at just as high a level? I know, I'm going to start a brokerage. And where the other brokers literally offer zero value, yes or no, be honest, there's no value. There's no value at all. The broker, the manager is some fat guy sitting behind a chair eating a donut, for crying out loud. Like, there's no value. We're going to be different. We're going to inspire people, motivate people, teach people. We're going to help them literally triple, quadruple their business. To the point that just being around us, they are infected with enthusiasm, possibility, and energy. And their lives will change. I kid you not. People quadruple their business. People lose weight around us. People get pregnant around us. It's the craziest thing. I'm not lying. Because whenever people can't have babies, you know, there's a spiritual blockage there. There's an emotional blockage there. So all of a sudden, when you start feeling good about yourself, guess what happens? You start popping out. I had one guy, I'm not kidding. I had one guy, they had 14 miscarriages. Started working with us. Found out his true underlying story. Check this out. Oh, this just gave me goosebumps. Found out this true underlying story at an event that I was hosting. I made everybody draw a picture of what they believe about themselves. And he stood up and showed his picture. And his picture said, I am dumb. Because his accent, he had an accent and he lived his entire life thinking he was dumb. The minute we remove that story, the guy went from making like 90 grand a year to like 380 grand a year. And he had like 3 babies. I am not lying, guys. I am not lying. You guys have got to understand, this is the power of what's going on up here. That's one story. I got like 300 stories like that. And here's the best part. I started that business with 2,500 bucks. Last year, we sold $1.1 billion in real estate. We did just shy of $40 million in revenue. And today, I work maybe 5 hours a week. Maybe. I'm actually lying, that might be a little too much, but something like that. Worry blocks you of your life force. If you've become a habitual negative thinker, it's only because you haven't cared for and built your mindset. That's it. You haven't cared for it. What happens when you don't care for a body? You see it. Problem is with a mind, you don't see it. The mind has a tricky way of being. The mind literally teaches you how to think, and it says things over and over and over to you. And the problem is that you buy into the concept that that's you. It's not you. It's your mind. You and your mind are two totally separate things. You see, for anybody who's going to do anything great in this lifetime, they have to learn to start training the one thing that determines what they do, how they feel, how they interact with other people, the level of confidence they have or not have, and that is what? That's the mind. That's the mind. And so what do I do every single day? I meditate. Every single day. I don't care if it's for 5 minutes sometimes. Sometimes it's like for an hour, to be honest with you. And I realize this. I realize that the mind is a terrible master, but it could be a wonderful servant. I had an experience recently in Costa Rica where I was sitting in a sweat lodge. You ever done a sweat lodge, by the way? Nobody? Oh, you got to do a sweat lodge. You have to. It's the trippiest thing. You're in a circle about this big, and there's like 25 of you in there. And they start bringing in all these hot coals, and you're in there for 2 hours, and the door opens, which is like your only ray of hope, right? And they just bring in more coals and more coals and more coals and more coals, and then they close the door, and you're in there just sweating. And then to make it worse, they throw water on the hot coals so that the whole room gets like full of steam, and like your neighbors are passing out, and like everybody's just like struggling. I was in there for 2 freaking hours, people. You want to talk about my mind having a heart attack? My mind went nuts. It told me everything. You're going to die. You're going to pass out. It's too hot. How much time is left? Yada, yada, yada. It was nonstop to the point where I was almost going to leave. And finally, I just had to say, shut up. You're not in control. I know you're scared. It's okay. I'm not. I'm in control. Not you. Changed my life forever. Changed my life forever. I want you to write this down. Mind management is the essence of life management. Mind management is the essence of life management. The average human being, guys, runs 60,000 thoughts in their mind a day. And you want to trip out on something? 95% of them are the same exact thoughts they thought the day before. We're just in a loop. We're living life through a loop. That's why we're not growing. I want you to really think about the agents in your office. Maybe this might be you. Look at the production. Whenever you see consistently mediocre production, guess what that's a sign of? A mental loop. It ain't a sign of good looks. It ain't a sign of enthusiasm. It's not a sign of anything. A mental loop. They're stuck in a mental loop. I was stuck in a mental loop for years with my weight. There used to be a lot more of me. My face used to look like this. I couldn't do this. A double breasted? No, it'd be out here. But I made money, so it's okay. That was a mental loop, yes or no? I didn't even realize it. I had a mental loop in my head. You know what the story was? I'm kind of ashamed to admit it, but you know, in my family, not that many people were healthy. Correlation, by the way. Not that many people owned houses. Not that many people made money. Not that many people are healthy. See the correlation? Is that a mental loop, yes or no? It's a big fucking mental loop. And so I grew up seeing unhealthy people all around me. Now, I'm a motivated, inspired, take over planet Earth kind of guy. So I would go to the gym every single morning at 4:30 in the morning. Every single morning. But I never lost weight. Can I tell you why? Because in my mind, in my subconscious mind, I had this thought. All Hispanics are fat. I'm not lying. I know that's not true. I know that's not true. You're Hispanic, you're not fat. You're Hispanic, you're not fat. I know that's not true. But you see, I wouldn't see you. Because when you're in a mental loop, your mind wants proof. So your mind just looks, where is a Hispanic fat person? Oh, there goes one right there. See, I told you. And then when you look at yourself in the mirror, I could be lean up here, I could be lean right here, but if I'm not lean right here, what does your mind do? I told you, all Hispanics are fat. It's the same way about money. It's the same way about listings. It's the same way about picking up that phone. It's the same way about possibilities. It's the same way about wealth creation. You have to fix the loop. If you don't fix the loop, you'll never fix the results. I finally dealt with the loop, and I finally told myself the truth. No, asshole, not all Hispanics are fat. You are, because you eat like shit. That's why. And I started to confront myself head on. That was 25 pounds ago. I don't struggle with it anymore. I have complete control over it. As a matter of fact, this morning I meditated and I'm fasting right now. I didn't even have breakfast. Why? Because I wanted to speak from my heart, not from my ego. I have control now. You ever heard of work-life balance, by the way? You ever heard of people that say work-life balance doesn't exist? Bullshit. Work-life balance, people who tell you it don't exist, they're dealing with deep-rooted emotional instability. They have zero control. They're operating and working like old Danny used to, from the ego. I have work-life balance. Like, I don't even know what to do with myself half the time, to be perfectly honest with you. It exists if you want it to exist. But first, you got to take control of the two things that matter most to you. Write them down. Number one, your mind. Number two, your body. Colton, how am I doing? Because I'm just like flowing right now, so. Ha? 45 more minutes? Okay, good. Are you guys good? You guys good? Are you bored?
No.
Okay, good. Write this down then. What separates those who are happy and upbeat? What separates those who are happy and upbeat? Thank you, Colton. From those that are always miserable. What separates those that are happy and upbeat from those that are always miserable is how the circumstances of life are processed. It's how the circumstances of life are processed. That's it. Let me let you in on a little secret, guys. You're always going to be nervous about picking up the phone. Files are always going to go south. Clients are always going to reject you. It's called life. It's going to happen. It doesn't matter. You know what matters? How you react to what happens. The story you create about what happens. Because at the end of the day, the only thing on this planet that you have 100% dominion over is your mind. You guys want to practice real fast?
Yeah.
Put down your books, your pens, and all that stuff. And just sit up nice and straight and close your eyes real fast. Close your eyes real fast. This will be 2 minutes, I promise you. 2 minutes is all it'll be, okay? But what I've learned is most people have never like taken the time to just sit and meditate and like be comfortable with you, with your true self. So close your eyes real fast. I want you to take a deep breath in through your nose, and I want you to hold it. And when you exhale, I want you to relax. Take a deep breath in through your nose. I want you to hold it. And when you exhale, I want you to relax. One more time. I want you to take a deep breath. Deep, deep, deep. Push it up into your brain. And I want you to hold it. And when you exhale, I want you to relax. I want you to focus for a second on the space that is right between your eyes. Focus on that space for a second. And I want you to become aware of the size of that space in comparison to this room. Next, I want you to become aware of the size of that space in comparison to this universe. Realize how small that space is. Your mind is going to be really uncomfortable right now. Just tell it to quiet down. We'll be done in a second. Take a deep breath in through your nose. Hold it. Push it up all the way into your brain. Exhale, relax. I want you to tap into your heart right now, and I want you to find the one thing in this life that you really want. What is it? What is it for you? What the TV says you want. Not what Instagram says you want. What do you really want? See it clearly right now. Realize that whatever it is that you want, it already exists. It's already there. There is no struggle. There's only a being. Focus on it. Feel it. Have clarity in it. I want you to teach your body what it would feel like to be person that manifests what you want. Go ahead, teach your body. What do your shoulders look like? What position is your head in? How do you feel when you walk in a room? How do you feel when you go to sleep every night? How do you feel when you wake up every morning? Teach your body right now. You gotta teach it. Show it. Show it what power feels like. Show it what control feels like. Show it what strength feels like. When you're ready, open your eyes. Oh, you got deep. I love it. Good. So what did you notice?
Energy.
Energy? Who had a difficult time quieting? As you did? What did the mind keep telling you? You have a lot on my mind.
I guess right now, being here, I should be focusing on work. You know, I'm definitely one of those people that every day I wake up and I'm either at my office or I'm out prospecting or doing something, and I'm sitting here and I guess I'm thinking about what I should be doing.
Right, yeah, I get that. Now, can I ask you what's your name, by the way?
Alexis.
Alexis. Mm-hmm. By the way, we don't clap. We show love. We show love by going 3, 2, 1, and one clap at the same time. Sound good? So let's show Alexis some love. 3, 2, 1. All right, so Alexis, let me ask you a question. I'm gonna coach you through this. So what was the thing that you thought you wanted? That you said you wanted? Could you stand up? Yeah?
Easily put, I guess, to release what doesn't serve me in my own head.
Okay, good. To release what doesn't serve me in my own head. Here's a little trick, guys. The thing you think you want is always the thing you struggle with the most. So for like an example, when I was 18 years old, I wanted a beautiful car. It's not because I wanted the car. It's because I struggled with self-acceptance. And I thought that the car would give me the acceptance that I was looking for. So I'll help you walk through this in a couple of steps, just some things that maybe you can think about to help you on your journey, okay? Let's talk business for a second. What do you see, or what type of business do you eventually see Alexis operating in 10 years? What do you see?
In 10 years, I would like to be within the first 15 of my, or actually probably the first 10 of top 10 agents in my
Beautiful.
MLS.
Top 10 agents in the MLS. Absolutely.
And that includes teams. I would love to, I want to be a single agent throughout the entire thing. I don't want to ever work with a team. I'm one of those people that I definitely, when I get to the top, I want to know that I got there because of me, myself, and I. Mm. And I honestly see myself surrounding myself with the same people that I currently do.
Okay.
Because I do think that I have an awesome group of supporters beside me right now.
Love it.
And I think that the people who were there before you were extremely successful mean a lot.
Absolutely.
And I think the loyalty and genuine people are going to be there from the beginning, not just when you're at your top.
Beautiful. Okay, good. So now let's tap into that vision. Top 10 in the MLS. How many deals a year is that? That's a lot, yeah?
For us, I would say over 70.
Over 70.
Yeah.
Okay, great. So you guys got that? Watch what's going to happen now. Now, Alexis, let me ask you a question. Describe the version of Alexis that does 70 deals a year and is able to be a mom, is able to be a great wife, and has it all?
Easily, I already know what that would be because I've kind of manifested that in my own head quite a few times.
Okay.
Confidence is my number one thing. I think that finding who I am and portraying that to the people that, or to my entire town, actually, my entire MLS area, I think that being real and raw is something that is so lacked in real estate. Mm-hmm. I think that there is a specific attitude and persona that realtors, especially female realtors, think that everybody wants to see.
Okay.
And I think that stepping outside of that persona is going to be the thing that helps me in particular.
Okay, cool.
I want to be the one who stands out, not the one who blends in.
I love it.
So I definitely see myself taking risks in real estate. I see myself not being respected by everybody. I think that a lot of people are not going to respect me because I'm going to do things differently, things out of the ordinary. And I want to be known for doing things out of the ordinary, not for doing things like everybody else.
I love it.
So that is one thing for me, definitely standing out.
May I ask you a question?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your family life, mom and dad. How was that growing up?
Both of my parents are extremely successful. Both came from very poor families. Both of my parents, my mom in particular, is the only one of her siblings out of 12 that is not, you know, addicted to drugs, or my mom is very much self-made. My parents have more than they could ever hope for and more, and came from absolutely nothing.
Good. I love it.
So
do you see from what Alexis just said the immense amount of pressure that she has on her life, yes or no?
Absolutely, especially because my parents are the type of people that they will not give me a dollar. I will do it on my own.
That's okay.
100% on my own.
All right, Alexa, I want you to just take a deep breath for a second. And exhale. Because she's intense even in her, answers. So I can only imagine the intensity in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And what I am going to tell you, Alexis, is if you want to be the agent that does those 70 deals and is a great mind, a mom, and a great wife, and has that whole work-life balance, like I was you a long time ago, it's going to take release of control.
Mm-hmm.
Release of control of two things. Number one, and this is going to be hard, and this is where maybe your personal journey begins, of expectation. Because that's the greatest battle you're going to have to face right now is living up to an expectation that mom and dad have set. But I'm going to hit you with like a left hook. Maybe your true authentic self doesn't really want. Maybe it does. I don't know. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I don't know. That's something you're going to have to find out. And then number two, the second thing is release of control over the process. Because what happens is when we have such a great examples like your parents have given us and you have all of that pressure on us, you have a pressure to perform now. That means you got to make sure that everything is absolutely perfect. What I am going to humbly just point out to you, I want you to study all the top CEOs in this country, male, female, whoever they are. Let's picture Tim Cook, for example. Out of curiosity, does Tim Cook design the iPhone? Yes or no?
Does he what?
Does he design the iPhone? Yes or no? Does Tim Cook build the iPhone? Yes or no? Does Tim Cook ship it to the store? Yes or no?
No.
For that matter, has he even visited all the stores? Yes or no?
No.
Does Tim Cook sell the iPhone? Yes or no? No. What does Tim Cook do? Tim leads through vision. And so as you go through this journey, you're going to make it, and there's great people around you to help you make it. I would just caution you to start to work through the fact that the one thing that has gotten you to this point is not going to get you to that point, and that is extreme control. You're going to have to learn to let go. Sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Show her some love. 3, 2, 1. They just told me I have 15 minutes left, and I want to give you these two final points. Is that okay? Did you learn a lot through that right now? Yeah. Okay. Good. You enjoy the meditation? Perfect. Two final points. Number one, two, three. whatever, number whatever, write down. There's no way around it. You have to pay the price. There's no way around it. You have to pay the price. I was talking to my man right here. What's your name in the front?
Jose.
Jose. I was talking to Jose yesterday, and Jose, you inspired this point, just so you know. There's something that is happening right now where you'll hear a story like mine, and you'll say, shit, that guy does $1.1 billion a year in sales, and he works 5 hours a week. I want to be like that. Or you'll hear Colton say, you know, but eventually you want to like leverage yourself and do all these great things, right? And the thing that I see is happening right now is that everybody is looking for a shortcut. There is no way around it. I'm telling you right now, you ain't never going to get here until you pay the price. And in real estate, here's what that looks like. You get enticed by flips. Because in a flip, you can make 20 or 25,000 bucks or whatever the number is. And in a commission check, you can only make 9 or whatever the number is. You guys understand what I'm trying to do? Yes, yeah? Here's what I'm here to tell you. You have to build your business first. Remember what I taught you about avoiding, how people want to avoid being listing agents? You're just trying to avoid the damn work. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because that business, if you do it correctly, the one thing I didn't tell you, when I did 150 deals, 60 of them came from my database. 60 times 10,000 is 600,000. That is $600,000 in 1 year that I made that came to me that I didn't have to go get. But in order to build that database, I first had to go get it. I had to go get it. Stop looking for shortcuts. Build a bread and butter real estate business. If you do, it will teach you the skills. It will bring you the people, and it'll bring you the flips. It'll do everything that you want. But there is no way around it. You cannot bypass the process. The process is the process. I am who I am today because of the process. I can outsell anybody out there. Anybody. I don't care who it is. Tom Ferry, blow him out of the water. He never went through the process. He never went through the process. I can handle any objection. I can go right now. I could recite the script. Right. I could close everything. I could build a business. I could start from everything. You could drop me on a deserted island today, right now, and guess what? I'm still unstoppable because I didn't bypass the thing that everybody is trying to bypass right now. That gives me strength. That gives me confidence. That gives me power. That gives me an ability that most people don't have right now. Everybody's trying to bypass the process and be on social media right now. Yeah, but you can't fake the funk. People know when you actually do some big numbers or you don't. What I'm trying to tell you is create the story. Write that down. Create the story. Create a story that people will follow. Create a story that inspires people. And that's how you'll build a brand. It's like Tom's shoes. What a great story. Every time we sell a pair of shoes, we give one to a kid that doesn't have shoes. Too many people nowadays are trying to get on stage and trying to be on social media and trying to do all these things. They never built a story. They never really made it. I can stand here with confidence, guys. Did we have a great business? Yes. Does it require me to work a lot? No. But would I be who I am today if I hadn't cut my teeth through knocking on those doors and calling these people over and over and over for 7, 8, 9, 10 years, I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't be who I am today. I would not have been able to inspire you, hopefully, and teach you, hopefully, and cause some sort of a shift in your heart or your mind the way I hopefully was able to do today if I personally didn't go through it myself. And I just want to encourage you and leave you with that one thought. Two thoughts. The mind can be a terrible master, but a wonderful servant. And number two, there is no way around it. You must pay the price. Thank you so much, everybody. Thank you.